morning, Sophia. How are you?
Good morning, Darren.
Friday morning.
Yes.
The Duke is on.
I mean, it's cold outside. That's the only reason why it's on.
I got you. So I mentioned on Tuesday to Jack, I'm driving this old Land Rover Defender.
Oh, that was you that I saw? Okay.
It sounds like a truck, right? Yeah. Sounds like a truck. It is the engine is so loud on this thing that you can't listen to a podcast or it's loud, right? It's really loud. And it doesn't have like aircon or any of that stuff. So you just open the vents and then the wind literally blows in.
Wait, are you living in the Stone Age?
Maximum speed 110.
Ooh, and then starts shaking.
Oh. And all sorts of weird little things. I mean, I'm really enjoying driving it, but it's just not a practical day-to-day car.
Are you going to go like camping, hiking?
No.
Because I think that's what it's useful.
No, but seriously, I wanted to get one, and now I'm like, that's a nice, you know, that's like if you've got another car already, then you drive one of these for weekends or whatever. Because it's driving. You changing gear, you're like watching the revs per minute. You're like, it's you're driving.
Oh, no.
It's a mechanical thing. It's
use
not
the
a,
word gears.
Yeah,
and then there's clutch control that you still need to do.
All that stuff. All of that.
Traumatized.
And it goes, and the gear lever moves like this. I mean, listen, it's lovely.
Not for me.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Unnecessary.
No,
it's like complications in my life.
I've given up on that. The one thing I hated about like learning to drive was clutch control, changing gears, like the steeps when you go up. I'm good. I'm great. So I'm an automatic baby now. So not going back.
I was driving these very easy, very modern, very technologically advanced cars that are all electronic and all that stuff. So So now suddenly driving this is like, whoa. and you have to add at least 10 minutes to every trip.
Okay. Do you have to also carry, I know like with some old cars, because I experienced it on my sister's car, I had to carry water, I had to carry some oil, I had to have things in the car to make sure it doesn't overheat. Oh, yeah. Are we back
there? Yes, we're back there. So it's got some oil in the back, but water I think is all right. I must maybe just check it on the way home.
Every time you fill up and they're like water and oil, you're like yes.
And it's diesel, but you have to unlock the No, it's from 95. This car
it's as old as me.
This car is as old as you.
Gareth, that thing's old.
This car is old, but it's fantastic. I have to tell you, it's like it's so much fun and you could take it anywhere, right? Like it's a machine. But it's hard work. It really is. It's not an easy drive.
Sure.
So there we go. All right. Good morning, everybody. What is happening? Let's see what's going on here. Friends don't let friends drive Land Rovers, says Mo Rabbit. I'm not going camping. I mean, like some people are saying, I would never go and stay in a tent ever. Unless we're in a war and that is the only shelter available to us. I can't see a circumstance where I would be jumping at, you know. Oh, I'll go in the tent. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm not built for that life as well. I've tried it like once and they said, no, ma'am. No, sir. I can't do this. Like,
it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I'm not built for it. And there's like these very expensive tents that basically is a house. And I was still like, nope, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I'm a city girl. The city girls are up.
So Lorette points out here, like we've just come back from 2 weeks in Namibia. Our friends have a Land Rover. Did 4,500 kilometers in this trip alone. The top speed was 90 kilometers an hour. Hardcore driving. Yeah, that it is. The car died at some stop and they fiddled under the seat and voila, it worked again.
Under the seat, not even in the engine. Oh, like no. What's the thing in front?
The bonnet.
There we go.
But there's a part of me that's really enjoying it. It's like a bit of an adventure every morning, and I don't want to be doing this for 6 weeks, but it's a fun thing to drive.
Okay. Since it's diesel, do you have to kind of just start it first and then wait a few minutes?
Yeah, so you turn on, There's a thing called the coil in the Land Rover. You have to turn it, and then the orange light comes on. And only once that goes beep, then you can actually ignite the engine. Yeah.
Okay. Rather you than me, Gareth. Rather you than
Listen,
me.
Listen, I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
But I don't know how long I'll keep enjoying it for. We'll see. At this point, like I've got those Toyotas that they use for Ubers.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are speeding past me.
Okay.
And that's okay. I've never been like massively.
Okay.
It's not a speed thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need to like overtake in things, it's useful.
Okay.
And this thing is not, it's not a fast car, not by any stretch of the imagination.
So you're going to stay on the slow lane.
So listen, a while ago we had Mash on the show.
Yes.
And Mash told us about something which has bothered me ever since called frogging, P-H-R-O-G-G-I-N-G. It's where people live in your house that you don't know are living in your house. It's mostly, I suppose, a thing that happens in buildings and, you know, like big cities in America or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are crawl spaces in the roof or in the basement or whatever. And somehow people are really not observant, or these froggers are extremely quiet because they managed to do this for a long time. And we're not talking someone who spends a night outside, you know, one of your windows or something, which would be bad enough if you ask me. But you've now got something called fubbing. What the hell's fubbing? P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. I don't know. Is this at all related to frogging?
No.
Oh, thank God. All right.
No.
To be upset by that anymore.
Okay, so I was going to say take a guess, but that is your guess, right?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking that the frogging, fubbing, it sounds like they spelt almost the same. There's some kind of relationship.
It's such a lame definition after that frogging one, right?
Yeah.
But basically, this is when you are looking down into your phone when someone's speaking to you. So it's basically your phone, and then you're snubbing someone, and boom, shaka boom, they've created the word.
I hate that. How do you feel when someone is, when we're talking to them, and it's an important, let's say it's a business meeting, or
mm-hmm.
or it's a friend who you're trying to tell something really important to, mm-hmm. you know, I've got like this major health issue, or I've just broken up with my girlfriend, or, so you know, you're really opening up, you expect that person to pay attention. That's like the lowest level
yes.
of just interaction and communication.
Mm-hmm.
Just pay attention.
Yes.
They on their phone. So it's like, talk to me and then I'm doing this, right? So you're busy talking to me and I'm going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do get a bit of like, you know, I do that hand luck squeeze where you're getting annoyed and you're just like,
Okay, now that's, I think everybody's guilty of it.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself doing it, but apparently, according to research, because you know me, I must come here with research.
I'm guessing the PH comes from phone.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It apparently like helps improve productivity at work.
Really?
When you do that, yes. So I guess it's multitasking. You know, someone's talking to you, you're replying to emails, and then you're doing three other things.
Look, if it's someone you work with all the time,
mm-hmm.
and if it's somebody who they know that you're busy with two or three different things at once, and they sometimes are as well. So there's a quid pro quo, there's an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If, however, they are not actually busy doing anything important, they're just checking their social media.
Oh, that's the one that...
Or replying to a friend's WhatsApp while you're in a business meeting. That's not cool, because otherwise, just rather do one of them properly. Everybody who says they can multitask, I've met... You're laughing already.
Yeah.
I've met maybe three or four people who can actually multitask, and then they think they can, but then you'll realize they can't, because when you're talking to me, you go, so, and what do you think of that? And they go, what?
Yeah, because they didn't catch the like even the last three sentences.
You weren't listening at all, were you? No, I'm just multitasking. No, you're not, because you can't do two things at once, because you're a primate and your brain is just not able to. There's no human being who has like a two stream brain, and they can both women always say they can multitask. Okay. And I'm not going to turn this into a women men thing, because it's not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's quite dumb
mm-hmm.
and facile to like water it down to men. Men and women have different abilities. Women can do the thing where they are better at pretending they're paying attention.
Though. Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
You just did it now.
See, no, I was thinking about it because I was
Women are more sensitive to those cues, sometimes body language cues, sometimes audio cues, sometimes visual cues that make someone think you're paying attention.
Yes.
Women are better at that. They just are because they are better communicators generally and because they learn these skills at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that they have a better facility for doing.
Mm-hmm.
And women often will be talking and responding to each other in a way that men just don't.
Yes.
So there is a difference there. But these people who say they can multitask, I don't buy it. I really don't. I mean, Carl agrees with me here. Carl is in the comments and he says, my psychiatrist explained the science to me on this one. It isn't possible. You can't give careful, considered, thoughtful opinion to two things at once. You can't. You have one brain, the part of your brain that is doing this is me making a conscious decision, can only be in one place at one time. It can be doing a menial task, like you could be washing the dishes and listening to a podcast and thinking about your next day. Those three things could be happening at once, but where the conscious you is, only one place at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read somewhere a few months ago, so I'm going to ruin these stats, that like actually multitasking delays your productivity.
Yeah.
So when you're
I'm
busy
sure
with a task and
right.
you
sense.
Get in the zone and then you do something else, it takes you twice as long to get back into that zone that you were first in. So it's actually quite a negative thing as well to call yourself, you know, a multitasker.
Well, some people pride themselves on it. They're like, no, I can do three or four things at once. And I'm like, you could do them badly.
Yeah.
you could do them badly. I don't believe you could do them well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jeff Plain Jared says, and I think this is the way a lot of people feel, it is just the rudest thing ever when people are looking at their phone. What do you call it now? Fubbing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should start a movement where we call this stuff out. Like, excuse me, are you listening to me or are you fubbing? Because if you're fubbing, then maybe you should take that call or you should be on that phone thing that's so important to you. I've done it. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I've done it.
Yeah. Same, yeah.
Guilty as charged. I am not holier than thou. I'm not going to be sanctimonious and tell you, oh, I'd never do that. I'm a much better person than you. Bullshit. What it is you got to decide, am I owning up to it and I'm going to get better than this or am I going to get worse about this? And we are all, we're owned, whether we like it or not, we are owned by our devices. Our devices don't act as an accessory. We are owned.
Oh, yeah. I always say to my friends, if you can't get a hold of me, it's because I'm ignoring you deliberately.
Yeah.
My phone is always in my hand.
Always there.
90% of the time it's charged.
Although yesterday it did ring and I was like, whose phone is this? It's yours.
Yeah. And then I looked at it. I was like, oh, I don't need to answer. Mm. It's one of those where I'm like, 90% of the time, like, I actually have my phone with me. So if I'm not responding to your message or I'm not getting back to you, it's actually an act of choice.
I love this. Tracy spells it. There's your phone. Look.
Oh, that's my alarm.
See, our phones do run. No, sir. The phone runs the world. Who runs the world? Phones. Who runs the world? Phones. Tracy says it's called being selfish. That's very clever.
Okay.
C-E-L-L. F-I-S-H. Very clever. Very good. Carl says, pick a lane, Gareth. Is it stop nonsense or stop fubbing? By the way, I've made those Make South Africa Great Again hats just for fun.
Yes.
And we'll have those available soon. Don't worry. We're busy building a store. All that stuff we spoke about for like the last 10 years that we're going to start making, all these t-shirts and things. We're getting it done. So you saw Jack wearing the hat on Tuesday. It's not like some idea that's written down on paper somewhere. This is actually happening. Okay, Zwakela says, 100%. I hate taking calls and emails at work when I'm in the zone for that. For some reason, feel so good about myself this morning. Well, good for you, Zwakela. You lead the way. This is what I love on a Friday morning. Zwakele Ntalane. Very good. That's the shit I want to hear. Because we need, you know what we need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. It sounds so simple. I mentioned just now, it's like the first step in communication. But how often do you feel like you're talking to someone and they're not even paying attention to you? And it might not be the phone.
Yeah, just in general, right?
Sure.
Even with how, like, you could, even now in this conversation, and then I'm looking around.
Yes.
And then I'm like, at the comments. And then I'm just like swinging and just like in my own world. And you're just like, this person's not listening to me.
So you produce PH and Waris's show.
Yes.
The Shady Podcast, where a new episode went live yesterday, by the way.
Yes, with Luke Love.
Isn't she lovely?
She is. And I will have to say, they lived up to the name of Shady.
Yeah, they asked some shady shit there. But the reason I bring it up, Simpiwe, is because you mentioned like PH does this on his chair.
Oh, yeah, he swings.
Right? And now what we're going to do, he doesn't know this. And unless he's listening to this morning's show, he won't. We're going to edit together all the clips of him just going like this in his chair and show him how fucking irritating it is for the audience. Because people are not aware of what they're doing. And that's not because he's bored or not engaged.
Yeah, it's just like something it's a habit. Yes, so, like a chair swinging and you're like, oh,
so we all cool. We all do dumb, irritating things. I know, like, often in meetings and things, I get very bored very quickly. You've sat in enough meetings with me to know I've got a 20-minute I can pay attention.
Yes.
And then I zone the hell out. And the first port of call for me is if I am bored or I've lost interest or I feel like I don't have any contribution to make to the meeting anymore because now it's stuff that's outside of my area of responsibility or I don't know how to make it better or improve things. There's no value to be added. Mm-hmm. The minute I can see, okay, well, these guys have got this under control. I don't need to be in this meeting anymore. What I should do is just, okay, guys, I'm going to excuse myself. You know what you're doing. Get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
In the meeting. You start doodling.
All right, yeah, I start like fiddling, looking around, like what you just described now. So paying attention, I've got to improve my own life and the life of those around me. I've got to decide, get out of a conversation that you aren't in anymore.
Yeah.
Just decide, okay, well, this is over. I got to get out. Let these people continue. They need to talk some more. They need to get things figured out. I'm no use here. MoveOn.org.
Yeah, but also, can people stop talking for like 10, 15 minutes straight? Like, people talk and talk.
I was on a call on Tuesday. Me and Pumi, and there were three other people on this call. It started at 2:30.
Okay.
Ended almost 4:00.
Oh, no.
Luckily, it was online, but we were all on video. So you can't like go and make a cup of tea and pretend you're listening or whatever. So you're there the whole time. I was finished after half an hour and I was like, what am I going to do? Eventually, my battery was actually running down on my laptop. Mm-hmm. So I was like, guys, my battery's about to run out. And you could see they were all like, bullshit. You want to get out of this call. I was like, no, really, it's dying. But there's no need. I mean, what are you, the president of the United States? I mean, even he's like got Alzheimer's and senility. He doesn't know what's going on. Oh. He can't do a 25-minute meeting. He can do 20 maximum. So who are you that needs to do 2 hours?
No, like right? We just need to get to the point. Like even people that send me messages on WhatsApp, don't just send hi. Like say, hi, can I please have or... How you, I need X, Y, Z. Please get to the point. Like, don't just
my
say,
worst. And I'm guilty of this too. I'm like, well, we're talking about stuff that we're guilty of and unburdening ourselves this morning. Dr. Hanan would be very proud of us. While we're unburdening ourselves, I do this thing sometimes where you don't really have anything to say, so you just send an emoji. I know.
Why are you that bad?
I know it's bad, right? What do I do? But I don't have the time or the inclination to sit there and type up a long reply to somebody who's just saying, how's it, or checking in, or...
That's even more rude. God, what do you mean? If someone's asking you a question, right?
Isn't that good enough? Look, it even picks up the... See? That's enough. It's enough. What else do you need?
So, if like, I'm like, how are you, Gareth, today? And you just, like, react.
Well, it means I'm... That's the best I can do for you right now.
The conversation's done. No. You know, it's courteous for you to say, how are you? Like, you know, like that's how conversation works. It's not just about...
NJ says, quick voice note works wonders. Well, I do that, but now, okay, let's, you brought this. You've opened up a can of worms. And I'm so glad that this is a Friday show and Simpiwe is here because she's actually quite good at this stuff.
Yes.
You know, if we were having this conversation with Leanne or with Jack or Pumi even, there would be very big fights on the cards. But you actually, I think you have a system.
Okay.
So I think a voice note, if it's under a minute long,
okay,
is acceptable if you're driving.
Okay.
Or if there's something that you need to explain that you would rather explain in voice than in, like, tone might be important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, let's say you don't want to interrupt someone's day because a voice note means they can listen to it whenever they've got a gap, right? Mm-hmm. Got to be under a minute, otherwise it's a podcast.
Okay.
And people didn't necessarily subscribe to your podcast.
Okay.
Got to be under a minute. If you need to, driving, something that needs to be explained in voice rather than in writing, those are pretty much the absolute rules. You get some variations on that, but longer than a minute, very bad. Very, very bad. And people who... we'll have a long voice note conversation. Voice note, voice note, voice note, voice note, voice note, voice note. It's not, that's too much.
Wait, what? No. Don't say that.
Really? You don't mind that?
I love that. I prefer that.
I don't want a phone call. That's not.
Thank you.
All right.
So that's where you and I agree. I don't want a phone call. I think in the workspace, if you are sending voice notes, don't send me anything longer than a minute and don't send me 3, 4, 5 voice notes back to back. Like that, then just call me because that's just right. The call. And then I've noticed there's instances where I have friends that are not necessarily close to me and they'll be like, girl, I need to tell you about this thing that happened, right? Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And then they send a 5-minute voice note of this movie that took place last night. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I need to hear the entire thing. Like, so that's fine. Because then I'm like, I was prepared for like this movie or podcast that I'm going to listen to. But in general, I don't mind. I don't mind the voice note conversations because it's funny. Like I send you a voice note and then you reply and then it's like a thing. Because I hate typing. I've realized I actually hate typing.
I hate typing too. And you are on your phone so much that if you can just hold down that thing and record a quick... And by the way, there's a big argument here. Sanella says 30 seconds maximum. Actually, that is the bar. If you're bad at the game of 30 seconds, you're banned from sending voice notes.
Please, let's not talk about 30 seconds. Let's...
Oh, why? Have you got a bad experience you want to relate here?
No, I've realized that game should not be played by everybody and anybody.
You mean it will ruin friendships?
Not just ruin friendships, just ruin the way I look at you and just perceive you, Gareth. Like, because I have no issues with people having like a lack of general knowledge. I really don't. Like, cool, it's fine. It's just how you hog up that time and how you just decide to pick up this card and then you say things like, I know this one. Ma'am, sit down. You don't know it. It's okay. Like, just...
So for you, it's frustrating when they're talking shit and they're not going to get the answer.
Yeah.
You can tell they don't know.
Yes. As opposed to someone who's actually trying, they're like, okay, I think Table Mountain, or they're trying to give you clues or they're trying to give answers. It makes it fun because I'm not as competitive. I know how competitive 30 seconds can be. But now I'm also at that age where I'm judging you in terms of if you're hogging the thing and you keep doing the... sit down.
Okay, but
go back home.
But I do want to stick to voice notes quickly. We can always talk about 30 seconds just now because I get very competitive and I also don't like when people mess around at 30 seconds. You're either in the game and paying attention and you want to win or you just get out. I'm with you. Sorry. Okay, so basically, if you and I aren't in the same team, we're going to fight with everyone else. we don't mind as long as we win. So this is interesting. NJ uses Facebook voice notes.
No.
I must tell you what I do. Facebook, again, this is my system. I don't know whether it works for everybody. Facebook is useful now only for one thing, really.
Birthdays.
Birthdays.
Thank you.
And I like birthdays. As I mentioned before, it's a way for me to just check in with everybody. I've got like 4,000 or 5,000 people on there who I'm friends in inverted commas with. But a lot of them are just people who haven't seen in a long time. You know, from when I was DJing 12 years ago, or a friend who's moved overseas, and it's just a way to once a year check in. And the excuse is, it's your birthday, happy birthday, how are you, blah, blah, blah. Just like politeness and keeping up good relations. You know, we've got that Dunbar's number, everybody. Mm-hmm. Maximum number of meaningful relationships you can have in your life, yes, at any given time is 120.
Yes.
And that's a lot. But this is a much wider circle. Mm-hmm. So that if, who knows, you are in business and in 6 years from now, the person who you knew 3 years ago is suddenly the marketing director for a big company and you want to talk to them about some idea you've got, it's not going to be weird. You're not going to like call them up out of the blue. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, well, I was going to call you up anyway. I sent you a happy birthday this year. So it's, yes, not like we're total strangers.
Yes.
So that's where it's useful. Otherwise, I don't see any use for Facebook at all.
Yeah.
Do you?
No. In fact, I'm 5 to 1/4 to deleting my Facebook account.
Oh, you don't think you need it on your phone anymore?
Yeah, I don't even go onto Facebook anymore to check what's happening.
No.
I think what keeps me updated now is Instagram, and that's like where I find out, oh, it's someone's birthday because it was on their story, right, or something like, right, that. But the craziest thing I've gotten was an Instagram call. Like someone called me via Instagram.
How? That is extremely rude. By the way, that is also invasive as hell. Because the last thing you want to see is Facebook calling. Like, if my phone suddenly goes off and it's like that blue thing, I don't know, what, like, the hell's this?
Yeah, like, firstly, I was like, who are you? Because I don't have your number. You know, it was so a follower.
Do you have to be on the app?
No.
It can just call
so
you?
So as long as you're, like, Wi-Fi connected or your daughter's whatnot.
No one must do
And then,
that's terrible.
The one thing, I just see this name pop up and I'm like, okay,
it's like
this
getting
is
a
not...
call from a prisoner.
It was weird. But it's like, okay, cool. And the first time I ignored it because I'm like, I'm not answering no Instagram call. I don't know who this. And then they called again. And then on the third time, I was like, okay, now I'm curious because you clearly have something to say and I need to hear you out.
From Facebook call. Was it a person you knew well?
No one I knew at all. I've never met this person.
So it's like being cold called by a telesalesperson.
Yeah, but then this person actually had like, oh, hi, Simpier. I'd like to talk to you about XYZ. And I was like, could have sent a DM, mm-hmm, you know that, right? Like, mm-hmm, you could have just sent me it, and I only answered because you've called so many times, and now I'm curious to hear what you have to say. So yeah,
let's look at look at who's
everybody.
Can those just hang on? I just want to shut down Ben's microphone there. Playing through the wrong thing. There we go. Now we're on. How's it, Ben?
Hi, good.
Except that you're in the way there, James. Oh, get the fuck out of the way. What are you doing?
Yeah, James, what's going on here?
I mean, really.
Were you guys not expecting me? Again, I asked this a lot at the show. No,
it's been a long time since we last saw you, Ben.
We were expecting you, Ben. Get out, James. I'm what up. Are you doing here?
I'm up. Sorry.
Get out of our studio. That was why the thing was feeding back your laptops here. What do you bring that in for?
Surprise, surprise. These things don't fucking work.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need headphones?
Can we pre-record the segment that I say to you every week? Yes, I would like to have headphones, please, because...
So, Ben, that's a good master's cap.
Thank you.
Where did that come from? It must be very rare and difficult to get.
No, it's from Augusta.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet, but...
Who
this
brought it for you? Did your hun Rupert bring that back for you?
There's various nice people in my life. You know, jeez. I'm very blessed like that. But
they're blessed. They're going to Augusta.
But when you watch... the feed this weekend, which obviously you must, you'll see all the caddies wear this hat.
Oh.
So normally in golf tournaments, the caddy just wears the sponsor hat. But yeah, at Augusta, they mess around. It's like, right, you will wear these white overalls, okay, and you will wear this hat.
It looks good. And you're of course very excited. You posted a thing yesterday. That course is just the most beautiful course in the whole world.
It really is. It's a very important golf tournament. And some people always give it criticism over the years for being exclusive. But exclusivity is not always a bad thing. It's just the people who can't be part of it are moaning. What about the people who are in it? What about their feelings? What about them?
I'm so glad you brought that up because we've been talking about voice notes, yes, and the etiquette around people paying attention. Simpiwa told me about this thing which everyone is guilty of called fubbing. It sounds rude, and it is rude, but it's not as rude as you think. It's got nothing to do with people playing with their genitalia.
Yeah.
He was worried about that.
For a second there, I thought people were just sending like DMs of fubbing.
No, so fubbing is when you're talking to someone and while you're talking to them about something important, yes, otherwise why would you be talking to,
sure,
them, they're looking at their phone.
That's the worst.
It's terrible, right?
It makes me so angry.
Yeah, so fubbing is rude.
Yeah.
But I also think it's rude to think that you deserve to invade exclusive places.
I agree.
I do not deserve to be at Augusta.
Either do I. As a player, no.
Not even as a spectator do I deserve to be there, because there are people who love golf,
yeah,
and whose lives are constantly immersed in the world of golf. If someone invited me to Augusta, and I've been invited to rugby matches and things where the tickets are like hen's teeth.
You've been invited to NBA games.
And I've said to people, listen, you'd be wasting this on me. I do not choose to invade spaces where I'm not going to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And just for the sake of being there and taking over and saying to other people, I was there. I don't want to do that. So,
but even if it's a new experience, Gareth?
But simply, I don't like these people who insert themselves into stuff that's none of their business.
Okay.
Just because they think it's exclusive and they need to be in there.
And they take a selfie next to something and say, like, look, that's me. I've now claimed this. Okay. I've claimed this. Right. This is my social Everest. Right. I'm now here. Yeah.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, give it a go. But I obviously could talk about the Masters for about 7 hours, but we'll get to that in the sport in a second. But can I just give you some key phrases I was thinking about in the way here?
Of course.
So I know in golf, and I'll be the first to admit this, that guys become at a certain age, maybe in their second or third wife, where they just shut off and then they start playing golf. They start getting angry. They start getting drunk a lot. They gamble a lot. They become basically degenerates. I will always appreciate that. That's part of life.
Okay.
But there's also the better side of golf, right? And the Masters is that. So for 1 week of the year, the Masters is on TV. You'll hear that piano tinkling in the background, and you will see this majestic golf course. And then women, well, what they'll do is they'll just do the usual, oh, is that on again? Or are you still watching golf? And I think this year, for harmony in the workplace, the home place, everywhere, I think we should come up with some new phrases. So I was thinking about this on the way here. Now, I think about this because I don't get dogged with this kind of stuff. I mean, Daniela appreciates what I like.
She watched you playing the other day.
Yeah,
she doesn't care about golf, but how nice of her.
But I know I get guys who bitch and moan about this, and they go, oh, wish I could watch that, but now I'm going to watch the other shit. So ladies, when you get into the lounge or wherever this is played, don't say, is this still on? Or are you watching golf again? Because those are two stupid rhetorical questions. The answer is yes. Very much yes.
I'm just making sure on the sport.
Yeah, I know. But there's some derogatory comments that come out. And I don't want that this weekend. I want harmony. So maybe kick off with, how are the LIV guys doing? Because you know, there's the big rivalry between the LIV and the PGA guys. Mm-hmm. Or has Patrick Reed cheated yet? Also, big comments, you know, that's a conversation
most
starter.
Most men would fall off their chair if their wife or girlfriend said that.
Is Tiger going to make the cut? Jesus. And then obviously that's quite a broad one. So your next follow-up question is, I think the hills and the undulations of the course are really going to get to him.
No, Ben, I can't. No.
Guys, trust
notes.
Me. If
I'm
you
taking
have
notes
these.
And no, because you know what you're asking me to do, right?
Is, win.
Sure, great. That's
socially,
amazing.
Romantically, win.
Great. But like by me saying, is Tiger going to win, right?
No, make the cut. So you got to listen as well with this whole thing. It's a two-way conversation.
That's the issue. I'm not trying to engage in the conversation. The reason why I ask, is that golf? And you're like, yes, I can walk out of the room. Done. Now, when I'm asking about Tiger Woods,
I haven't sat down here with no headphones to just tick box this thing. I'm giving you depth here.
Wait, but all I'm just saying, the truth of the... What about my feelings in this entire thing?
That's the other 51 weeks. Can we not have a week? See?
Yes, but what I'm saying is...
Fitting how I get this opposition straight away. I'm just trying to do something nice.
No, what I'm saying is I realize that you like this. And if I just want to quickly find out, oh, that's what you're doing again, you're watching that, I can step out the room. The minute I'm asking about love, Tiger Woods, and winning and losing.
She's being drawn into a conversation now, she can't actually carry on with.
But I'm giving you the second question.
Yeah, but it's not like, no.
That's becoming homework.
No.
I agree with Simpiwe. Like, show just enough interest so that your man, I mean, we're stereotyping here, but show that the other person in your life, what they're doing is not a waste of time. That you don't disapprove, and you're not like, give me attention because you shouldn't be watching the Masters. That would be shitty.
Yes.
But don't get into territory that you're unfamiliar. You're going to find yourself very quickly set adrift. Now, after the has Tiger made the cut and the undulations part, now what?
What must happen
now
with
he goes,
me?
Yeah, I think the undulations are going to affect him badly. No.
Cool. And you've gone to another level. If you want to go, yeah, that ankle fusion was good.
No.
But I mean, it's going to have its wear and tear, seeing he's only played 27 competitive holes this year. See, you can always go as far as you want. All I'm saying is I'm teeing you off here. I'm teeing you off.
I can't fake that kind of level of conversation.
Okay,
I really
I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more. How is it that Scottie Scheffler managed to square up an impact with those feet?
That's such a long sentence with names. And
you drop these lines, guys. Feet. Seriously, this is like I'm basically teaching you French, and you're about to go on a date with a French girl. I'm giving you the keys to the castle here, and you are just shouting back at me.
Whatever happens to just asking about the handicap, and then they
there's
talk,
no handicaps, they're pros,
and then they talk all right. And talk.
I'll tell you what. This morning there seems to be a theme about like what's rude, and we talked about fubbing and showing a genuine interest in other people and paying attention and. That's what Ben's.
You two just fubbed me, basically. I was trying to give you some light.
That's incorrect.
I was trying to give you some light engagement points for a special weekend. And
neither of us picked up our phone and ignored you. We do have someone coming in a bit later on. This is going to be interesting. So this guy is an etiquette specialist. Okay. He is the leading etiquette trainer and consultant with a global reputation for professional excellence. 35 years. Of engaging with clients at the highest level to bring transformational power etiquette to the forefront of their business and personal lives. We often talk on this show about how rude people are and how people have lost any ability to be polite, sophisticated, civilized, decent. This guy's going to fix it for us. His name is Philip Sykes. And we're going to ask him about what you do at a dinner party, how you serve food, how you eat, how you speak, how you respond to people, how you respond to an invitation. Basic manners, because I think that people have lost all sense of how to behave.
Absolutely. Because they've also lost a lot of
fucking animals.
Self-respect. A lot of it comes down to that. They've lost a lot of self-respect in the last 5 years.
Fucking animals.
And that is why we have small friend circles.
All right. So we're going to have that later. It's going to be lots of fun. First things first, let's get into some sports with Ben. And here it is. It's brought to you by Superbets, of course. This is Beyond the Scoreboard. What is on the agenda, Ben?
All right, guys. So we've got to start with the Masters because it is the Masters. This is so exciting. And there's all this hype leading into it. And unfortunately, yesterday, poor weather. So the start got delayed. So some of the guys haven't finished yet. So if you're wondering if Tiger's going to make the cut, well, he had a very bright start. He's 1 under after 13 holes when bad light stopped play. But right at the top is Bryson DeChambeau. Now, a lot of people will obviously have picked Scottie Scheffler as the favorite, overwhelming favorite, and he's 1 back at 6 under. Bryson's -7. And the thing about this guy that people forget is that he put on all the muscle. He then went down. He went to live. He tried different clubs. He moved sponsors. This guy's been a roller coaster the last few years. Okay. But traditionally, he's an absolute golfing nerd who was obsessed with the Masters. And when he won the US Amateur, he went there as an amateur, and he did bloody well. He got the gold medal that week, whatever it is, for the top amateur. Mm-hmm. And this guy loves this golf course. He spends so much time agonizing about how to conquer it. So he's actually, unsurprising, -7. With the LIV guys, you never know what their form is going to be going to this tournament, but he's looking super, super solid. Bombs the ball a long way, putts pretty well under pressure. That's what you want at the Masters. So the weather's going to be fantastic from here, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So no more rain delays. Tiger can be warm, which will be really good. But I do think that fused ankle with those undulations simply wear are going to absolutely get to him. So he might make the cuts, but I don't see this guy walking that course for 4 days in a row. It is hardcore on the legs. It really is. But credit to him, you know, he's there. And if he makes a cut this week, it'll be the most consecutive cuts made by anybody playing the Masters ever. Which, guess whose record will break?
You've got to hand it to Tiger Woods.
You
really do. The guy is just a lightning rod to excitement around golf. He has been a phenomenon his whole golfing career.
Pillar of the sport.
And with all of his crazy personal life and
boning.
Jeez, that guy did a lot. So many hoes.
That derailed him a lot.
Like, how old is Tiger now?
Probably too old for all the boning. Is that just follow up question?
But he's still busy.
No, he's actually been what's the word? Slightly celibate the last few months because he wants to really focus on the Masters. Okay. But Tiger, I think Tiger's 46, 47. Sure. But in 1997, he won by a record margin at the age of 21.
Sure.
And everyone thought this guy's going to win 10 green jackets. Amazing. He's going to be the most prolific guy. He's going to mess up Jack's record. But then the boning and all the other kind of stuff and car crashes.
So whose record is he breaking here at the Masters? Gary Player?
Gary Player. Oh. And Fred Couples.
Gary's going to be upset.
Well, he'll take it in his stride. obviously. And also, Gary grew up poorer than Tiger Gareth. So, I mean, there's an asterisk on that one when you think about it.
Gary will tell you that story.
Gary and Fred Couples, most consecutive cuts along with Tiger on 23. So if he makes it this one, record breaker. So it does suck that you play a tournament not to win, because he'll obviously say, I think I can win. He can't. But it's a big attraction. So Masters weekend, all weekend. I won't go any more into that, because once I go on a tangent with the Masters, you might not be able to stop me. Yeah. There's also rugby this weekend. Investec Champions Cup. How damn exciting, because we're in the quarterfinal stages.
Very good.
Now, unfortunately, the Stormers didn't win last week. They had a kick for the win against La Rochelle, and they missed it, unfortunately. Yeah. But then again, there was a blowing hurricane in Cape Town. So you can't exactly blame Monty Libok. I was there. I was playing golf last weekend.
I got a voice note. We were talking about voice notes earlier, from a friend of mine in Cape Town. It was yesterday or Wednesday. And it sounded like...
end of days.
I mean, you couldn't hear the voice note because there was...
Also, how rude to send a voice note in the wind? What was that person thinking?
Very rude.
Exactly. Etiquette coach later in the show. Right. So Saturday, we've got the Bordeaux Beglers versus Harlequins at 4.
Who the what?
The Bordeaux Beglers.
Who? Where are they from?
They're from Bordeaux. It's in the name, really.
How do you spell Begles? What's that?
B-E-G-L-E-S, and there's an apostrophe Begles somewhere in there. So that'll be the first game up. Leinster versus La Rochelle at 6:30. Northampton versus the Bulls at 9. And Sunday, we've got Toulouse versus Exeter. So this is my suggestion for a multiplier for the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. We've got Bordeaux Begles at home. They're a shit-hot team. Now, Harlequins are also a very, very strong English team, but I would go home team for them. Leinster is pretty much the best club side in the world right now. They're taking on La Rochelle. Now, La Rochelle have just basically flown from Cape Town up to Leinster, which is Ireland. So that's quite a hectic schedule. I wouldn't back them. Northampton are England's form team at the moment. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of senior players who are putting in their last season for the club. So I think there's a lot of impetus behind this. And the Bulls as well. They've got the big travel schedule, you know. They've then gone up to the Northern Hemisphere. So, and then Toulouse, they're just a really great team. They've got DuPont and Intermac. That's your halfbacks combination. Exeter, full of young, exciting talent. But against those guys, I don't think so. So I would go multiplier. I think if you put down $100, I made this bet earlier in the week, you'll probably get $270 back if you just pick the home teams to win. So go on to Superbets. The odds might be slightly different on that one, but that would be my conservative yet fun pick for the weekend.
Fantastic.
In football, we've got 7 match days, rounds left in the Premier League. Currently, Arsenal, 71 points. Goal difference, 51. Now, the reason I say that is because Liverpool, on the same points, neck and neck, but their goal difference is all 42. So Arsenal went through the stage where they were just trousering everybody by huge margins, which was fun. It was really cool to see that. But also, this could actually be really, really important going into the crunch here. Man City on 70, goal difference of 40. Now, all of these teams are playing midweek Europe kind of stuff. Liverpool are in the Europa League.
You're dealing with this.
It's hard to say
this morning, yeah.
Europa, because it sounds like a coffee shop, but it's actually a really big tournament. Arsenal are in the Champions League, so them and Man City drew this week against real high-profile competition. So the squad's going to be stretched, but it's going to be stretched for all three of them. So action this weekend. Man City will be taking on Luton at 4. Sunday, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace at 3.
And by the way, producer James jumping in the comments here saying, Liverpool are winning the league. Just give them the trophy.
James, that's neither here nor there.
But also, I mean, clearly James doesn't understand the concept of sports. It's just give them the trophy.
James, if I took on that mindset, where would we be? Be better.
Reprimanded.
Be better.
It's very stupid.
Yeah. And then Arsenal with the toughest game of the three this weekend. They'll be taking on Aston Villa at home at 5:30. Local football, if you do like a bit of that still, well, it's the Nedbank Cup quarterfinals. So this is the Cinderella story for all local sports, but there's none of the small teams have made it through. Aww. The big guys have said, no, not on our watch this year. And that's it. So we've got University of Pretoria versus Sundowns tonight at 7. Sundowns obviously win that one. Saturday, we've got Stellenbosch versus SuperSport United at 3. AmaZulu versus Pirates at 6. And then Sunday, TX Galaxy versus Chipper at 3. So I've kind of skirted through all of that. I know there's IPL on. You can find the women's is playing against the Sri Lankan women's is for cricket this weekend as well. But let's be honest. We all want to know what's happening with UFC 300.
Yes. Bring it on.
Now, in the UFC, when you get this big number of events, you get the main card. Nobody really watches the early prelims or the prelims because, well, they want to watch the 5 main fights, the biggest names, the biggest competition, and obviously titles at stake. Now, UFC 300, because it's a milestone event, there are, and I shit you not, 13 fights that you want to watch. From the early prelims all the way through, the first fight on the early prelims is Cody Garbrandt, ex-champion, versus Davison Figueiredo, recent ex-champion, now in a different division. So they are people who were title holders from the first fight. Normally that first fight is like youngsters and guys on the way out or people with dad issues. They've got now such high profile fights. So from midnight Sunday, normally again, you wake up at 5 a.m. in South Africa to watch the main card. Mm-hmm. From midnight, you've got all of this. And we are talking huge fights, but just most specifically to talk about the main card. Bo Nickel will be taking on Cody Brundage. Now, Bo Nickel, of course, is the future of the sports.
Those are actual people's names.
Yeah.
Cody Brundage.
Can we also have clips of Ben and all these names that we've heard through this segment?
Many people would consider that they are made up on the sports.
Well, guys, sport is a cross-spectrum thing of nationalities, backgrounds, heritage, all those kind of things. So Bo Nickel is seen as the future of the sport. Everyone says he's going to just breathe through the middleweight division. Of course, Drickus will say otherwise. But this guy is an absolute talent. He's an absolute phenom. And he'll be in the first fight to the main card. Then we've got Charles Oliveira versus our man, bear with me here, Sarukian. And that just sounds like that noise that guy made. Sarukian.
No, it sounds like a guy called Kian who's in Saru, South African Rugby Union.
I was going to go with the sound that guy made in Street Fighter, but our man Sarukian will take on Charles Oliveira. If I keep saying it, it'll keep changing. Then we got Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. Now, this fight's interesting because these guys fought at an earlier stage in different weight class, but now Max Holloway's gone up to lightweight, and they are contesting the BMF belt. Now, that's the baddest motherfucker in the UFC. There's a belt for it. Justin Gaethje is very much it. This guy's like a human pit bull, not the nice one, the one on the East Rand, and they'll be fighting on the third fight. And then we got Weili Zhang versus Yang Jiangnan.
Who's that now?
This is the first ever all-women Chinese title fight. Now, Weili Zhang, everyone knows her because she is the champion. But Yang Jiangnan, also from China, actually been in the UFC longer than the title holder. And those two square off. And then we've got Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill.
That sounds like two people in Mortal Kombat when you get to the boss level.
It is.
Fight.
Yang Chunang and Song Wong Tok.
And they're fighting over a restaurant. So the main fight then be Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill. Now, Jamal Hill was the light heavyweight champion. He then had a horrific injury playing basketball. Key thing here, when you play a sport, trying to fuck around with other sports, wait for Nico and rugby, another example. Alex Pereira, we all know that guy. He was the guy who was like Israel Adesanya's nemesis, the boogeyman. He then went up to light heavyweights. He got the title. And that is pretty much the big highlights. It is one of those great sporting weekends. We've had a few lulls in the last week, but this one, absolutely amazing. So there's lots to play for, of course, on Superbets. You can go onto that and find games and play all of these, really. Yeah. All of the odds are on all of these things. As I mentioned, I reckon there's a nice easy multiplier on the Investec Champions Cup, back the home teams. And if you still can get any sort of odds on Scottie Scheffler winning, I think he'll win the Masters. It's just it's his time. It's never going to be like Tiger time. But this guy, he's just so good. He's so solid. And if you watch his golf swing, you think, how the hell is this guy so good?
That's a lot to take in, but thank you, Ben. Very good. We have lots to look forward to. And of course, Superbets supports responsible gambling. Strictly now under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is, do you know the number yet by heart?
No.
I don't, Gareth, because I know when to quit.
0800-006-008. That's what you need to know. All right, so I introduced Ben to a story the other day, which is just absolutely phenomenal.
Okay.
The story of Jacko Macaco. And by the way, when they gave Michael Jackson the nickname Wacko Jacko, when all of his trouble with, you know, children and all the rest of it had come up.
His trouble with children. He had no trouble with children, let it be known. He liked them a lot.
He interfered with them. Okay. But they started calling him Wacko Jacko. Yes. Actually, that name comes from very much early in the Regency period in England.
Ooh.
When England was peak England, the weirdest kind of England. All the eccentricities, the things that when you think about English people and tea and, you know, pistols at dawn and, you know, the empire and all that, it all came about in the Regency period. A pretty wild time in England.
That was Blackadder 3, right?
Yeah, where Prince George, the Prince Regent, is in charge. His father is Mad King George. Yeah. The king was literally mad. Yeah.
So it's good to see Blackadder season 3 to reference this kind of it.
So that is the time. Basically, you've got just wild behavior, gambling.
Sorry, Blackadder 2. Sorry,
dogs racing, horse racing, people just spending fortunes on on all kinds. Super Bets would have done so well in that time. They would have been
pistols at dawn, backing
huge,
putting 100 guineas on you.
And literally, they would then someone would fiddle with one of the pistols so that the guy didn't know, and then his gun wouldn't go off, and boom, he's gone, and you win £100,000 as well.
But he would have died with honor, because back then there was lots of stupid death, but it always ended in honor.
But there were also all kinds of really dodgy things you could bet on.
Okay.
Like pit animals fighting with each other.
Yeah.
They had the Westminster pits, where you'd go down into some part of West London, and there'd be some guy standing at the door going, "All right, well, you coming here? Don't place your bets on the dog or the monkey." And you would go in, and there'd be a big fight. There'd be like a boxing ring, but it would be a pit. You'd stand and watch, because the animals otherwise could attack the people. They didn't want that. Mm-hmm. They would train vicious dogs and other vicious animals, you know, ostriches, monkeys.
Oh, whatever they found baboons, on the ships, basically. Yeah.
Anything. People, and the ships would unload these exotic animals from, you know, "Oh, we've discovered this thing in the Amazon rainforest." You would have put him up against a dog.
Yeah, they wouldn't bring it up and say, let's monitor it. Let's see what its diet is like. Let's see it fight was the option. Was that what they went for?
This is what they would do. And they found one of the most famous monkeys in history, a monkey called Jacko Macaco.
Okay.
Which is a macaque. It's a kind of monkey.
Well, it's rumored to be a rhesus macaque. Now, there's quite a few macaques.
Okay.
Some of them are quite placid. Some of them are quite aggressive.
A rhesus is quite aggressive.
The rhesus are kind of, they originate, I think, from sort of Asia-ish.
Yeah.
Like top of India towards China, kind of. That's where they came from.
That's where Jacko Macaco's people were from.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jacko Macaco, this famous monkey in the Regency period, was bought by a man. Turns out that this monkey was so vicious and so ornery that he would attack his owner. And the owner eventually said, "I've had enough."
Well, originally it bit off, I think, 3 fingers on a ship. So obviously they would steal these different countries, put them on a ship. And while you're getting scurvy, you would obviously have other fun. And Jacko Macaco bit off, I think, 3 fingers in this time. And the guy was like, whoa. That's not, I've had enough. I'm going to flog this to somebody.
Yep. So gets to London. Blogs it to a guy who owns the Westminster pits. This guy sees an opportunity to create some serious.
No, there's a middle here, Gareth. Don't ever.
Sorry, God.
There's a middle. The person that got Jacko Macaco thought it was a good idea. Far too aggressive. This guy's like, "No, screw this. I'm going to kill this thing. I'm going to set dogs on it." So goes to a field, as you do back in those days, sets a dog on it. Jacko Macaco kills the dog. The guy's like, "I'll set 2 more on it." Kills the next 2. So then it's now seen that Jacko Macaco is a pretty decent dog killer, which would then mean
he could sell him to the pits. Yeah. And people are willing to put huge money on monkey versus dog fights.
Now, I love dogs, but the story is kind of funny because it just sums up life.
Let me just say, like, you know, animal rights activists only really started coming into the picture towards the end of this period.
Many would say Jacko Macaco was an activist for animal rights.
Sure, I mean.
And his life was not in vain.
It sounds terrible, and there may be people listening right now very upset by these stories because animals just tearing each other's throats out and, you know, carotid arteries being pulled out by the canines of the monkey or the dog. And, you know, they'd sometimes. They would cheat a little bit, so they'd wound the dog beforehand, you know, like they do with boxers in those underground fights. Mm-hmm. Guy gets a knife in the ribs before he fights. Can't fight so well. Bookie gets all his money. Yeah. Dodgy. So anyway, gets into the Westminster pits. They put him up against a number of really, really powerful dogs. Dogs that have got a long track record of winning against other dogs and now against monkeys.
So just for size perspective, Jacko was probably about 5-6 kilograms tops. Like a pretty decent.
Small, wiry.
And again, there's a lot of broken telephone because back then people were either hugely addled by chemicals or were drunk. So the story isn't going to exactly be precise. No one's going, I chronicle the life of Jacko Macaco. Like, there's no bloggers or reporters back in those days.
There's Mrs. Marples who's, you know, when she's not baking pies upstairs, she wipes her hands on her skirt and then comes down to watch.
The prostitutes are too busy to chronicle this kind of stuff.
"Oh, I'll go watch Jacko Macaco downstairs. I've got a free ticket, so I'm going to go check that out between making pies."
So this is really England at its absolute apex.
So it was kind of seen that Jacko could fight against any dog up to twice his weight. So now we're looking at like a 10-12 kilogram dog. And where Jacko became most famous was when he took on this bitch called Puss. And now Puss was hardcore, pretty hardcore, but also came from good bloodlines, right? But then again, it was rumored that this dog was so ferocious and big that it had to have been injured before the fight. Now, what Jacko would do, Jacko had a plan, right? Because he was constantly put in conflict situations. So like someone from a bad area, they know how to fight when cornered. Yeah. So Jacko would go into this kind of more like submissive position mm-hmm. on its back yeah. and almost like entice.
So the dog would think, oh, this is going to be easy.
I'm going to go kill. Okay. And then it would basically channel the dog into one move, which would be to go for the throat, which Jacko had exposed quite cunningly. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he would pounce.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of rumors around this fight. That Jacko's jaw got ripped off, that puss's carotid artery was just torn out. Yeah. But other people say this fight went on for like half an hour, and then eventually both animals died from their wounds. Some people say Jacko had lived on. It was like a real enigma back
but
in
they
those
stuffed,
days.
They did stuff Jacko. They stuffed Jacko, and he was put on the mantelpiece of a famous prize fighter in England. Stuffed the monkey, and he was there for a long time. Obviously, now he's gone. You know, the taxidermy wasn't so good in those days, but
I mean, obviously, like with all good stories, there's more questions than answers.
Yeah.
And it's just to think, like, how big were these dogs? I think that the dogs were, because another thing about these fights that made them so ferocious is that you're taking animals and you put them into very scary environments, right?
Sure.
Drunks and horrible people shouting and screaming. Okay.
English people.
It's just noise. Now, if you go anywhere where there's noise like that, animals get a bit spooked. Any animal.
Of course.
I don't care if you're a prize-fighting macaque or you are a lovely house dog. You are going to shit yourself when you've got people, the sound of broken glass.
Oh, my God.
The sound of people just being horrible, like absolute animals. But and then they've got to fight each other. You know, you've pitted against someone with teeth who's after you.
Puss.
Yeah. But back then, I mean, there were all kinds of sort of experiments with animals. And, you know, they would throw a baboon in the mix. People thought baboons would be the better fighters because they're big, they've got the big teeth. But they didn't have the skill that Jacko had. Jacko was a real fighter.
Yeah.
So again, when you're putting bets on UFC 300, you will look at the big person or the person who looks hardcore. But just remember, always look for the inner Jacko in some of these guys, because the skill, the tenacity, the will to survive. It's a really big thing when backing fighting.
What a great story.
Well, like monkeys, apes, baboons, gibbons. There's a story with all of these things. And a local story, which I also thought was fantastic, was the story of, I forget the name of the baboon now, but there was a guy called James Wide. Mm-hmm. Now, James Wide's job was to basically, it was a conductor on railways.
Oh, the railway signalman.
Guy.
Yeah, signalman. He's a signalman, yeah.
And he has probably one of the best nicknames on earth.
Okay.
James Hopper Wide. Who had no legs.
Yeah, it was Jack, funnily enough. I mean, there are a lot of monkeys that seem to have been called Jack.
Yeah,
so.
It's like a default name. The baboon is called Jack. So James Hopper Wide tried to hop between the carriages and one day lost his legs. So he actually got this baboon and taught the baboon to be the signalman.
Yeah.
So the baboon was sat next to him. He would be there, no legs.
Pull a lever.
And he taught the baboon what to do.
Oh. By the way, signalman actually changes the tracks.
Yeah.
So if the baboon pulled the lever, the train would go to Grahamstown rather than to Dar.
And that's where it was. It was in the Eastern Cape, so back then in Port Elizabeth. And James would instruct this Bobiana to basically pull the right levers. And he did. And Jack...
He lived a long time. He was very intelligent.
Lived a long time, fiercely loyal.
And never made a mistake.
And never bit him either.
This baboon learned to basically do... So it just shows you there are some jobs you could literally give to a baboon.
You know, work ethic.
If you think you're special at work today, just consider that your job may be one of those jobs that could be taken up by a baboon.
I mean, AI is hitting you the one side,
baboons on the other.
It's a tough place out there.
Look out. So Mac thinks we're talking nonsense. You lot are the queens of cockprat this morning. Well, Mac, I've got to tell you, this is all true.
You don't make up stories like this.
Look it up.
I was never ready for this.
Listen to this story. Here's the story. Jack died in 1890. The baboon was the pet and assistant of double leg amputee James Wide, who worked for the who worked for the Cape Town Port Elizabeth Railway Service. He'd been known for jumping between rail cars, accident, as Ben explained. And after initial skepticism, the railway decided to officially employ Jack in his job once his competency was verified. He was paid 20 cents a day and half a bottle of beer each week.
Yes.
To drown his sorrows.
But a bottle of beer was substantial.
But that was how they paid everyone in those days.
Everyone got paid
in beer. Everyone got paid that.
Yeah. In fact, he was being paid quite well.
Yeah.
You know, It's widely reported that in his 9 years of employment on the railway company, he never made a single mistake. He died of tuberculosis in 1890. This is Jack the baboon. We're not talking about... Jack got paid 20 cents and about half a bottle of beer.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Never made a mistake. His skull is still in the Albany Museum in Grahamstown. You can go and see it.
Ooh. Wow.
And here is the actual excerpt from the journal Nature. Jack acted as a railwayman in Uitenhagen, the Cape. The story was documented by the Reverend George Howe in 1890 and then verified again by W. Fitzsimmons, director of the Port Elizabeth Museum. Fitzsimmons' account is published in the Cape Mercury, 29 May 1923. It relies on an interview with Wide, Hopper Wide, and the written statements of 25 witnesses, as well as Howe's evidence. So this is not made up. This is not a nonsense story. Here in South Africa, we had this baboon. Obviously, it ended better for him than it did for Jacko Macaco.
Well, yeah, he had nice employment rather than prize fighting. Although I'm pretty sure people wanted to see Jack fight. But James Hopper White said no.
No, he's too valuable. There's a railway signalman. Very important. And I want you to think very seriously if your job could be taken over by a primate of some other kind.
A mild-mannered baboon could basically waltz into your office right now.
And take over and do everything better than you.
But those baboons are also savages, though. he was very much, don't go up to a baboon in the wild and go, right, I've got a job for you.
Especially not the ones in Cape Town. They're very aggressive.
I saw some last weekend.
They open car doors. They help themselves to people's stuff. Listen to this. A friend of mine was playing golf here in Gauteng. He works in insurance. Monkeys, you know, vervet monkeys, the ones that you get all over, climbed down from the trees, got into their golf cart while they were teeing off. The monkeys took their phones and tablets and rangefinders.
Sure.
Technology, not food. These vervet monkeys took technology out of there and stole the stuff and disappeared.
Straight to cash converters.
That's what you think, right?
I've worked it out.
Unbelievable. So just don't think these things are stupid.
Small lesson there. Don't be a lazy cunt. Don't use a golf cart. That's the big take out.
Exactly. But what a story. All right. So there we go. There's plenty to keep you thinking this morning. All right. It is just after 7. We've got to take a quick break. And don't forget, we've got etiquette coming up. We'll teach you how to have some manners and improve your damn self. Because you need all the help you
should have opened up with the baboon story on that one.
We should have saved the baboon story for that one. All of that and more on the way.